Well, good morning, church. You know, you learned a little bit of lessons in life, and one of them is to always treat the pastor well. It's an unbiased statement, okay? Well, listen, I tell you, you know, because some people have been guilty of really making fun of me. I just, you know, I'm trying to locate them because I know they're in here somewhere. Don't hide. Just keep your head up, Steve. It's all right. It's not you. Where are you? Not you. Where is Brian Ravelis? Oh, come here, Brian. Because, see, here's the deal. Because pastors always get the microphone. Come here, buddy. I'm just kidding with you. Come here. I'm just going to do a quick spontaneous interview. He has no idea, Mom and Dad. So come on up here. So first of all, there's a lot of people out here, right? Now, do you know a lot of people out here? I'll need some juice here. Do you know a lot of people? No? Okay, so good. So to begin this, folks, we need him to, you want to know who he is, right? Right now, he's just a person. You knew him. I call him Brian Ravelis, right? But you really don't know him. So can you tell him what your name is?
My name is Brian Ravelis.
Brian Ravelis. And who are they?
Christians.
Wow, strong assumption. I like this guy. I wish I was right there when you said that. Well, good, Brian. Listen, I think you're a pretty outgoing kind of guy, right? You like to activity and stuff, and you're awful quiet right now, but I don't think this is you because I've seen you up here doing the motions before, and you're like out there, all right? You push yourself out there. So a question I have for Brian this morning is, do you have any, you go to school.
Yeah.
What grade are you in?
Fourth.
Fourth grade, all right. So I'm going to suspect that you probably have at least one friend, two friends, three friends.
Yes.
So how many did I stop at three and that's it?
I don't know.
Okay, so you can think, but you got one best friend?
I got a lot.
A lot of best friends. Wow, this guy has got it going, right? If you asked me that question, I'd be scratching my head trying to figure out who the one is. All right, so you're doing good. A lot of us is out there be the same way, right? We're trying to find that one good friend. So you got several. So you're a lucky guy. I want you to understand that this morning. So can you give me a name of maybe you just pick out one of them. Give me a name.
Mikey.
All right. So Mikey's in the fourth grade?
Yeah, he's came here before.
He's came here before. Okay. So Mikey is a young man that got the Bible that one Sunday. Is that right? Am I following you?
It's
here?
Him.
All right. See, he's already bringing people to church, folks. Wow. Good job. All right. So you got Mikey. He's a good friend of yours. He's actually been here. So some people may know who Mikey is, but we really don't know who he is. So is he a pretty good friend?
Yeah.
So has he been over to your house? Is he that good?
Yes, he's been over to my friend's several of times.
Have you been to his house? Is he still that good of a friend?
Yeah.
Wow, we got a great relationship going on here, folks. All right, so now for those people here that have not really met Mikey, if you haven't got a chance to meet him, he's a great kid. He was here that Sunday and just fantastic guy. But, you know, can you kind of describe him a little bit to us? How tall is he?
A little bit taller than me.
Okay, so about here? Okay. Yeah. What color hair has he got?
Brown.
Brown hair, okay.
A little bit bigger than me.
A little bit bigger than you? Okay. Do you know what color of his eyes by chance? I mean, you make eye contact?
Brown, I believe.
Brown, you believe? Okay, excellent. All right. So do you have any idea what he likes to do? He's got a favorite sport, anything like that?
He loves football.
Football. What season is it now? Football. Hold on a second. Pause. I know the Ravelis, so I want to ask this question. American football?
I like soccer.
Soccer. Okay. Listen, you say football. I don't know, guys. JC will correct me and say, no. It's American football he likes. Another one. Okay. So super. So you've kind of described who he is, right? So he's a pretty good guy. You could probably talk to him and tell him stuff and know that he's cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to go blabbing around the school talking to other people. All right. Super. And his name's Mikey.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for sharing who Mikey is, describing him, and allowing us to interview you this morning. Thank you, Brian. You can go sit down. Give him a hand. You know, you're a good guy too, Brian. I tell you what, the first Sundays I love too is because you get a chance to to get them involved in the service. And as they were up here leading the singing and doing all the motions and participating in the offering, I think it's exciting that we do that here at Trinity and give them the opportunity. If you got your Bibles with you this morning, I trust you do. If you don't, there's one in the pew in front of you. And by the way, the one in front of you, if you don't have one, didn't bring one, it's yours. Okay? So take it with you and use it with all your might. So let's go to 1 John here this morning. And if you've been keeping up with our readings in the We Believe series that we've been doing, going through the New Testament, we have now we're jumping into October. In case you're wondering what day it is, it's October 1st, all right? So we are streaming fast to Christmas, right? So, excuse me? Oh, I thought I was wrong about something for a half a second. Old habits, sorry. Old habits. Today's the 2nd. Thank you. I was wrong. Old habits still prevail. Okay, good. Yeah, because yesterday was a great day. Okay, so October 2nd here. So listen, if you don't have one of these, it looks like this. The backside looks like this. It's in the Welcome Center table right there. Grab one of these, and that way you can kind of keep up with what the pastor's supposed to preach on a Sunday. And it's easy reading. It's good. It's healthy. All right, it's healthier than broccoli, I promise you. So if you don't like broccoli, you can do that. Yeah, see, I heard an amen out of that. Well, listen, we got a chance to be introduced to Brian's good friend this morning, and so we want to go ahead and just kind of lay some groundwork out here for the first John here that we're going to read. So we want to understand, too, kind of where the lay of the land is. So understanding right now that the church has been under persecution. We got Nero that's just blaming the fire in Rome on the Christians, and so all of a sudden Jerusalem is poof, no more, right? So, and then the body of Christ, right? Jesus has been crucified before that, and so all the disciples have been scattered amongst the countries, and we have churches popping up, local churches and homes, all right? So they're popping up across the countries. And now we find John is going to write this letter. Now, some believe it to be John, some believe it to be some others that were a testimony to what John had communicated. But this morning, for the sake of talking about that, we're going to just say that John wrote the book this morning. Pastor Caleb, who is my authority on historical data, can talk to me later. We can get that corrected. It was John. Thank you. All right. So John it is. See, October 2nd, John, I'm getting there. I'm 50-50 this morning. Thank you. So we want to understand, first of all, kind of what's going on and why this letter is even in the Word of God. Why is it important? Why are we reading it? Why are we trying to figure out who cares what John is thinking about so many years ago, right? But we want to understand that. And so right now the church is being persecuted. And listen, you know, we think we're persecuted, and we are to some degree, all right? It just looks a little different to us today than it does to them. It's life and death to them, and today it might be a job. Today it might be some other things. It might be friends. It might be family, all right? So there's some other qualifications for that here this morning. But we want to just get the idea that we're dealing with a situation that's very difficult and very sensitive to the church, for the reason that John is writing this. So if you got your Bibles, let's go to John chapter 1, 1 John 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4 here in the beginning this morning. And it says like this, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make your joy, to make our joy complete." So there in the fact is the great beginning, right? We want to go ahead and get that out. So, you know, some of you don't know who Mikey is. But because Brian shared who Mikey is, now you have an idea who Mikey is. Right? Because if you know Brian, now you know Mikey, right? Because Brian described him very well to you. So he's a little bit taller than he is, a little bit bigger than he is, got brown hair, got brown eyes, and he likes football, all right? So even a little bit more than just the physical description, now we have a little bit of what he likes, which is a little bit more on the inside. So now we appreciate Mikey even more than when we see him, right? We'll see him next time. We'll say, "Hey, Brian, that's Mikey. We know it." But here in the scripture here, that's what they're trying to do for us here. They're trying to say, you know what? John has touched him. John has seen him. John has heard him, John can give you some physical characteristics of who Jesus is. As a matter of fact, he could probably tell you if he liked football or not. That's what we're getting in the first part of 1 John, really kind of leading us in, saying, hold on, I got to qualify myself, right? And the qualification is seen, touched, and heard. All right, how about that? Is that good enough? So people that know John can know Jesus. People that know Jesus can know the Father, right? So that's how that's going to transpire for us this morning, is seeing a progressive pattern of knowing. And how do we know? Is by hearing the Word of God and reading the Word of God today. Because we're so far removed from that time, I don't know anybody that's lived there, that listened to Jesus teach, that touched Jesus, that was able to hear the words that he spoke. I don't have anybody that connected, Joe. So I have to rely on the Word of God today. And that's our ultimate source of giving us a description of who God is. See, that's where we're at today. We have to get into the Word to know who Jesus is. And to know who Jesus is, then to know who the Father is. That's how we got to do it. And again, let me just simply tell you, if I haven't already told you once this morning, we have this sheet out there that really is a great guide for helping us to know who Jesus is and helping us to know who the Father is. It's right here. It even gives us a full scale of a night. For those of you who like to check off boxes, check, check, check. It's all right here for you. For those of you that don't check it. All right? But here it is. Let's get into the Word together as the body of Christ. That's the whole initiative. That's the whole purpose. It's allowing us to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us as His Word comes alive and speaks to us. That is the goal. Not too long ago, about almost a month and 3 days ago, so Caleb and I were traveling. I took off work early. We were fortunate that we're getting a chance, White Sox fans, close your ears. We were going to the Cubs game. And so we were headed out to the Cubs game, and we were all excited. You know, they said, oh, listen, it's going to rain. You probably won't be able to, you know, get there or whatever. It's like, no, they're going to have the game. We're going. We got tickets. We don't ever get to go. We're going. We're traveling down Raymond right here. The rain is falling just a tad little bit. And they got the construction, if you remember the construction that is still possibly going on, that was going down through there. And all of a sudden, the car comes over in our lane, and we smack the back end of it as we try to steer away from it, and the car shoots over into the oncoming traffic, shot over into the ditch area, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in a wreck, and we're just like, oh my word, we're just trying to go to a Cubs game, so maybe God's a White Sox fan, I don't know. But anyway, so we get to that point, and we're sitting there, and we're just, so we go drive down a little bit, we come back, I look at the vehicles, not a lot of damage, but because we were able to swerve a little bit, we're able to go into their oncoming traffic, and only just kind of hit that vehicle on the tail end after they had already rear-ended the other person. But we're sitting there, and then all of a sudden, man, the police were on the spot real quick. Kudos to them. Man, they were just there fast. And so as the policeman got there, then he began to do the routine, right? Hey, tell me your story, Ralph. How did it happen? Tell me your story. Okay, Tom, we got that story. You're in the other vehicle. Tell me your story. Okay, have we got anybody else that wants to share a story? Well, we had a witness that was behind us. You want to share your story? All right, I like that. I don't think you were there, though. But, see, false testimony. So we have, just kidding. Thank you. So we have the opportunity here to have a gentleman who stayed and saw everything happen, and he became the pivotal witness. Because I hear one story from me to the police officer. He's going to go get the other side of the story from that individual. And oh, by the way, the third car, he's going to get that story. But the pivotal witness testimony is going to be the person that was not involved in the accident directly, but witnessed it with their eyes. So the gentleman was kind enough to stay, give the police report. The police wrapped us up real quick, got us out of there. And I thought, you know what? I don't know if I would have taken the time to be the witness to the crime or to the accident. I shouldn't say crime, to the accident. But the man stopped and took the time to do that. And I thought, wow, how about that? But it was pivotal because that person's testimony really made the deciding difference. There's evidence there, right? I'm not saying they wouldn't have done something else. But I'm just saying having that witness to testify to what truly happened was pivotal. To have John put on paper what happened, pivotal testimony, walking with Jesus, right, for those 3 years, hanging out with him, being able to be chosen to be in a group, a smaller group that got to go hang out with Jesus in the Transfiguration. They got to go hang out with him a couple more times privately and have that really intimate. We have that testimony in 1 John. For that, we have to say amen, because we have the Word of God, ink on paper, that we can read here today in 2016 and allow God's Word to come alive to us, that which we have. If we got your Bibles open still, let's go to John, 1 John chapter 2 here this morning. John chapter 2, and we're going to go through, if we can, through verses 12 through 14. I appreciate the word that was read this morning. That scripture was awesome this morning. It really kind of ties in my whole sermon. So I could have just said, hey, the sermon's been preached, it's been read, we're done, we're out of here. Sorry, we're not. All right, so chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. Read with me here this morning. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Repeat. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Amen. Let me just share with you this morning about that text real quick, all right? So we came through last weekend. How many of you were here last weekend, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, either one of those? All right, fantastic. Thank you for being here. I'm telling you, Dr. Reno was fantastic. If you got a chance to just kind of listen in and kind of hear what he had to talk about from generation to generation to generation, what we're talking about here in Scripture here this morning is not father-son relationship as far as Joey and Joe over here. We're talking about a spiritual kindred family relationship that we're talking about here. And so children as identified as new believers, someone who's new in the faith. For Scripture simply says, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name, you've just now received Christ. You are just now getting your walking shoes on and ready to go. Secondly is, now what we're going to see is he's talking about the fathers, talking about those that have been in the church for 10, 20 years, having that relationship with Christ that is strong, developed, mature. That is who the fathers he's speaking to today. For you have known him from the beginning of time? No, from the beginning of when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the timeline. Young men, young individuals who have received Christ and have really kind of made it go the... Remember, my last sermon was on 2 Peter. You remember we had the baby chair, the high chair, all that stuff, and talking about growing. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about infant stages of being children. We're talking about becoming adolescents and really getting some things under your feet, being a little bit more independent thinking, getting some maturity in you. Then we're talking about the fathers who's now on the other side of that, right? They are able to mentor and help others to grow up in Christ. And that this morning, as we talked about last weekend, from generation to generation to generation, we're reaching people to equip people to reach people. That's what we're talking about. John has given us a steady guideline as he describes here, encouraging us today, saying, you know what? You have overcome the evil one. Have you ever been in a battle with the evil one? Amen. Listen, if you haven't, you will. It is not fun. But let me tell you what, if you'll stick through it and you come in on the other side, you will be a much better person, because Jesus Christ will deliver you from that. We sang about something. Listen, as we're singing that song, that last song we sang, and we talked about freedom in that song, because that's what we're looking for. Freedom from struggles and freedoms from the chains that bind us, and we allow them to bind us because we allow the devil to have a foothold in our life, because we don't think that this is very important in our Christian walk. But the reality is, it's extremely important to us in our Christian walk, and we got to say no to those things. We're going to find out how do we do that, Pastor Tony? How do we say no? How do we identify what is not of God? I want to go from children. I want to go from young adults. I want to go to being the father or the mother of the church. How do I do that as I grow? How do I understand if the Holy Spirit's speaking to me or not? Have you ever wondered that? I have wondered that often. How do I know that God is speaking to me? So let's go to, if we can real quick, let's go to John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3. The thing I love about the epistles and about these books is that They are easy reads, folks, but they are so encouraging. They have so much in there to read for the short period of time it takes to read it. Listen, I've told you 1,000 times, I'll tell you 1,001, it's a cup of coffee in the morning and a chapter and you're done. And I'm not saying that this morning to say it's a checkoff list. I'm saying this morning, I like my coffee and I like my scripture. We got to let it penetrate us this morning, folks, and allow God to do something greater than he's done already. So here we go. Chapter 3, 11 through 13 with me this morning. This is the message you heard. Man, we're hearing it. From the beginning, we should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil. His brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. What we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not remain, who does not love, remains in death. Friday evening, we had a wonderful opportunity. I'm so grateful that Cheryl leads and Steve leads and helps us, has taken on the mantle of the Hesed House ministry that we do here at church. If you don't know what it is, every month it has 5 Fridays in it. That fifth Friday, the church here at Trinity, they donate the food, they donate the cooking, they donate the serving, they donate the cleaning, they donate the time throughout the evening from about 4 on, maybe even sooner than that if you're cooking, on until 12 to 1 o'clock in the morning. So we were there Friday evening, and I so much appreciate it. I know many of you have gone, and sometimes it works, doesn't work on your schedule, and sometimes it didn't work out of my schedule, a family's dinner, et cetera. But we were able to make it this Friday and go in there and help serve. And as we're sitting there, you had a tremendous turnout from Trinity. Let me just tell you, it was a tremendous turnout. We are so thankful. Cheryl was so excited, and that just keeps her going, folks. Unless you want to do it, you better show up because it'll be passed to you. But it's a really great opportunity. But I got a chance to meet with a gentleman named Scott who worked there. And by the way, Lucy, before I just go anywhere, your bread pudding was a hit. I mean, everybody was raving about that, coming for seconds and thirds. I just want to tell you that publicly here. So if you want to know, there it is. Sorry. So what we have here is I got a chance to talk to Scott. And Scott's one of the workers there who's been there for a little over a month helping out, kind of a part-time job for him. He attends another church. And as we're sitting there chatting, he said, listen. He said, you guys do a fantastic job. You are very professional in the way you do your things. And I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, we got a lot of new people. He said, you wouldn't know it. You guys do a great job. I said, well, it has to go from leadership down, right? So it has to go from leadership being able to teach and show you where to be and everybody being willing. Because you have to submit to do those kind of things, right? Why do we do those kind of things? Because we're supposed to love one another. Now, I know in Scripture here we're specifically talking about other believers, but I think we need to do that to those specifically who are not believers as well, is to love one another. So we're sitting there in communication. I said, really, you think so? We do a really good job? Yeah, you do a great job. Listen, they have they have a lot of churches, don't want to misspoke, a lot of churches that come through there and help and donate time. And he said, we're really good. And I'm scratching my head thinking, wow, we're really good. And he began to clarify a little bit more, Robin. So he began to say, hey, let me tell you what the difference is. He said, we have groups that come through here, and they just kind of stand back. They serve, but they just kind of stand back from the people, you know, arm's length. And he says, they know that. They sense that. They can see that. And things get kind of rowdy because there's just that kind of, seems like a, you're better than me kind of a deal. But he said, you guys don't. You guys are smiling. You're interacting. And he said, let me tell you what that does for us here as we're workers here. It calms it down. I was like, really? That calms it down. Really? Yeah. When you just smile and look at people and interact with them, it brings a calmness. I thought, you know what that is? I think, and that's the Holy Spirit working through us because we're showing love to one another and we're serving and we're helping. Listen, there's no greater opportunity to do that than it is to do it there, to do my feeding starving children. But when he said that, he said it brings a calmness over the people. I was just simply amazed thinking, wow, God, thank you that we have a group of people that commit, that come, that smile, and do it out of love. Love changes things, people. Not only does it change us because Christ first loved us before we could love him, but it changes other people as we participate and as we share that which we have received. Amen? We have to share it. We can't just hang on to it, go home and just hang out behind the TV and watch TV all day. We got to get out and do stuff. You know, our young adults, plug here, so thank you for coming this evening in pre-advance. But we want to be that kind of people that get plugged in and do things. We want to be able to get out there and really help minister to people and help people do things. Because again, if we are sharing what God has given us, there will be multiple lives that we transform and change because we just said, yes, Lord, yes. And so find out here in John that he's talking about that we got to love one another, folks. We're going through a progression here, right? So we've had the opportunity to find out, get testimony that is true. We've had the opportunity here to find out this morning that, it's, you know what, it's to generation to generation to generation. It's our opportunity here, the body of Christ, to pass on our Christian heritage to those that are following us. Not those that are beside us, but those that are coming behind us. We got to pass it on. We're going to encourage each other, but we're going to pass it on to those coming behind us. So we want to be able to do that here this morning. Hey, let's go to John. Let's go to chapter 4 real quick here, 1 through 3. In chapter 4, I tell you what, here's how we're going to find out. How do you know the Holy Spirit speaking to you? How do you know that that's of God and not of somebody else or just my own doings, you know? So let's kind of, you know, why shouldn't I go do that? Because it looks so inviting, you know, I should be able to just take off and go do that. Let's find out what God wants to do first, amen? So let's do that. Let's go to chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 here this morning. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false spirits have gone out into the world. This is how you can know. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Key verse. That's number one. I mean, if you want to do a little pass test, just ask the question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh from God? And do you believe that he's been resurrected and is currently sitting at the right hand of the Father and is able to forgive man of sin? Test the spirits, he says. This is how you do it. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in from the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. So it's for us to put the glasses on that Jesus Christ gives us by reading his word and being able to test the spirit. Listen, there's a lot of good things that people say out there. Listen, there's a lot of good preaching out there that's very positive, good preaching. And there's a lot of preaching out there that is, you know, hell and damnation. But if they're not preaching Jesus Christ crucified and Jesus Christ in the flesh from God, then we got to check it out. We got to really take it and measure it up against what the word is saying. How do you test it? This is how we're testing it right here. And then finally here, let's go to John chapter 5 this morning. And we're going to read 1 through 5 this morning. Because this is where it comes into play here. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So not only do we test the spirits by that, but now we test believers. We see who believers are because then they are born of God. Amen? So believe that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Everybody who loves the Father loves the child as well. Striking. By loving God and carrying out his commands. This is the love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. We sang about this morning. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That is who overcomes the world. So this morning, this is just simple scripture stuff. If I get it, anybody can get it, I promise you. Is understanding, first of all, what testimony it is, and that's of Jesus Christ. Recognizing, qualifying that the word of God is true. If we don't believe that, forget everything else. because everything else is based off of that. So believe the word of God. Allow it to speak to you. And then go from there and learn how can God teach us to love one another. How can God teach us to love one another better? How does God teach us to be able to know the spirit of truth and the spirit of a lie and of the devil? Because that's really, we got to really define that in our spiritual walk to be successful in our spiritual walk. And defining successful in our spiritual walk is obeying God's command for eternity's sake. And then finally, just understanding in our spiritual walk here is that to love and obey God is the ultimate requirement for you and I, is to love and obey Him. Here's the crutch of it. If we do that, everything else happens. If we do that, everything else will happen. You'll be able to test the spirits. You'll be able to love one another. You'll be able to go to Hesed House and smile and share the love of God with others. Maybe not by what you say, but what you do. Bringing the peace of God in a place. You're carrying it. You are ambassadors. We are commissioned to go out into the world and to share the good news by word and by action. Amen? Take the mantle this morning. Take it with you this morning. Carry it with you this morning. And this week, ask God to help you to take the mantle and to live and obey His commands. Don't make it some big thing that's unmeasurable or something that's almost that we're unable to accomplish. That'd be like me saying, you know what? Man, Pastor Caleb, in 2 weeks I'm getting my PhD. We're done. This man's working on that for a long time. We got to bring it down to where we can do it. We got to bring it down where we're at. I may not be where Jim's at, and Jim's not where I'm at. But we have to find out where we're at first of all and be able to take God's word and say, please work through me. Please teach me where I'm at today what I can do to become more of a follower of Jesus Christ. And I say more because allowing us more of ourselves to become a follower of Him, we get all of Him. It's just Him getting all of us. Amen. That's what we're looking for. This morning, we're going to participate in communion. I'd like to share with you this morning that in participating in communion is not to be taken lightly.